Amen. Well, it's good to be back tonight, isn't it? Amen. I'm enjoying camp. We're thankful for the invitation to be here. Amen. We understand Brother and Sister Andrews, their love for camp here. They spoke highly of it oftentimes to us. We want to say thank you for all the good food. The food has been tremendous, filled us up. Our room has been great, and there's some snacks in there. Everything's so nice and clean, and everything set up for us, and we certainly do appreciate that. Amen. We appreciate the fellowship that we've already had. Amen. I was able to talk, I think, with Brother Frazier for one of the first times I've really been able to talk with him, and he is a wealth of knowledge. And I've enjoyed that. I just sat and feasted as I've talked with him, and I know my wife expressed Sister Frazier her kindness and the good message that Sister Eastman had today. I appreciate the men's service this morning, the minister's service. Brother Eastman, his wisdom that he passed on to us. Brother David, I really enjoyed his missions report that he gave. And just the wealth of information, the burden that's there, just was very touching to me. And I greatly appreciate that and his invitation. And even that he was, we were having some things happening in our life, and he was persistent, and things worked out. And we're so glad, brother, that you were able to just kind of keep things rolling with us. And Sister Smith, I appreciate her ministering this afternoon. And I do know what that word sikkim is all about. And so, amen, I could relate to that. And so we most of all want to say this for the opportunity to preach, but most of all for you getting in. Amen. Last night it was a blessing to see folks around the altar with their hands raised, tears rolling down their face. Amen. As God was ministering to them. Amen. That's the greatest thing. That's nothing for Brother or Sister Seville. Amen. That's for the glory of God. Amen. We don't care if you remember our name or our face when we leave here. Amen. Although we'll appreciate your prayers. Amen. But the greatest thing that I want you to remember is an encounter with God in 2013 here at your family camp. Isn't that right tonight? Amen. So thank you. I appreciate one of the young men too. A little boy, I don't know if it was Brother Eastman's grandson. He was telling me about him. But I had a little boy this afternoon who came up to me. I think they were taking up offering, and I felt a little tap on my arm. I looked, and here was this young lad. He was standing there, and he said something to me, and I didn't understand him. And so I bent down, and I said, "Buddy, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?" And he whispered in my ear, he said, "Are you going to take those bones out of that box?" Amen. So I appreciate even the young ones listening. Amen. It's a blessing, amen, to be where folks want to hear, amen, from God's Word and feel the Spirit of God. We're glad to have Brother Zach with us tonight. We appreciate the Andrews kids. Well, they're not kids any longer, but, you know, for us aging folks, they'll always remain kids. Amen. So we appreciate Zach. He's going to help my wife out tonight as she sings.
Even now, He's waiting on us to fall on our knees and worship. Even now, He's ready for us to lift up our hands to His name. Even now, as our praises go forth, the heavens will pour out on us, and His glory will fill this place even now. Even now, He's waiting on us to fall on our knees and worship. Even now, He's ready for us to lift up our hands to His name. even now, as our praises go forth, the heavens will pour out on us, and His glory will fill this place, even now, even now. He's waiting on us to fall on our knees and worship. Even now, He's ready for us to lift up our hands to His name. Even now, as our praises go forth, the heavens pour out on us, and His glory will fill this place, even now. Even now, He's ready on us to fall on our knees and worship. Even now, He's ready for us to lift up our hands to His name. Even now, as our praises go forth, the heavens will pour out on us, and His glory
Hallelujah. He's good, isn't He, all the time. Hallelujah. Even now, He's waiting on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate Brother Zach helping us out tonight. Appreciate my wife. Amen. What a blessing from the Lord my wife is. Amen. If you would turn with me tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37. And you may remember that last night I told you I was not going to introduce you to Joseph in his coat of many colors, nor the dreamer. Amen. But I think I'm going to go backwards tonight. Amen. Amen. And introduce you to Joseph in his coat of many colors and his dream. Would that be all right? Amen. Praise God. I want to say this evening. Tonight I've come prepared. Originally when I first was praying for camp meeting, I thought maybe I would preach toward the beginning a salvation message. I did not feel the Lord leading me in that direction. And I want to say tonight that tonight's message is to the saints. Amen. To the people of God who has been living right. I would say that tonight, if you are here, you've not been living right. Amen. Your life is not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I would tell you, like that woman who was caught in the act of adultery, her accusers brought her. We see that it was not the first time that the hand of God wrote. And Jesus bends, He writes something. He said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." We don't know why that there was only her brought, not the two that was caught in the act. It really wasn't what the Bible commanded in the Old Testament. But we don't know if it was that they were trying to catch her up in something. Certainly they were trying to catch Jesus up in something. But Jesus said this as He watched, "From the oldest unto the youngest of her accusers, walk away." And some theologians have said that the one who was older had more sins. He wanted to get out of there before his sins were revealed, to the youngest. And Jesus spoke these words to the woman. He said, "Where are thine accusers?" Amen. They're not here to condemn you. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Amen. If you'd like to participate in tonight, amen, I'd like to say this. If you're not right with God, amen, go and sin no more. Amen. I don't condemn you. God does not condemn you. He certainly convicts you. Amen. We can't live in a state of sin. Amen. But this evening, amen, go and sin no more so that you may be a participator. Amen. After you've got it underneath the blood in what the saints of God, amen, are going to do by faith tonight around the altar. Praise God. In Genesis chapter number 37, we read about this man, Joseph. We read about him being a dreamer. The first part talks about how that Joseph, he has a dream. He is certainly his father's favorite, the Word of God says, because he was the son born to his father in his older age. He made him a coat of many colors. Joseph had a dream there in this chapter. He has a dream that he's binding up sheaves. The sheaves, they all bow down to his. He goes on. He has another dream about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down. And so he's not taken too kindly by his brethren because of his dream. He's already dad's favorite. He already wears a fashion statement that says, "I am dad's favorite." Now he comes declaring this news that just does not sit well with his brethren. And the Bible says that in verse number 19, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." His father is sending him down to Dothan there. Amen. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in some wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that we may rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors, that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and lifted up their eyes, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brethren and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brethren and our flesh, and his brethren were content." And there passed by Midianites, merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. If you jump on down to verse number 29, the Bible says, "And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, he rent his clothes." Let's just stop right there. I have noticed something about this scripture, that Joseph was the chosen of God, and Joseph was the chosen of his father. Joseph, he had a destiny that was given to him by God. Amen. Travel with me tonight as I lay some foundation, because I will give you some good news, amen, as we build this foundation. Joseph was favored by his earthly father, but he was certainly favored by his heavenly father as well. Amen. It sounds like a great combination of things when you look that Joseph had it made, and he seemed like he was living life, amen, to the hilt. Amen. And we read that when everything seemed to be going all right in Joseph's life, favored by God, favored by his father, dressed fashionably, amen, had a dream, had a vision, had great goals in mind, that one day he wakes up and he finds that his brothers and his brother Reuben has devised to place him in a pit. Wow, what a place to be, in a pit. Now I want to say to us this evening, if anyone ever told you that being a Christian, when you made a dedication to God, you knelt in both your knee and your heart before God and you rendered yourself to Him, the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to your life. If anyone ever told you that you would never be hurt again, that you would never cry again, amen, that you would never suffer again, they lied to you. Amen, because even as Christians, amen, we can find that we can find ourselves in a pit. David said it this way. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen, what I'm trying to say tonight is this. Amen, Christians get sick. Amen, Christians have real problems. Amen, Christians have trouble. Christians can have a broken heart. Amen, Christians could be in places that they don't want to be in. Amen, they can find themselves in the pits of life. We can get there. We can be there. Amen. In the pit, amen, dreams can die. Amen. Ministry gifts, they can be forgotten. Fruits can never develop. Amen. There in the pit, marriages are in despair. Amen. Callings are in despair. In the pit, there is no spiritual growth because there is no water. The pit, it's a terrible place to be in. And so we find that here it was that Reuben suggested that they put him in the pit. Amen. Here it was his very own brother suggested that they put him in the pit. But I want you to realize something tonight. Reuben was not there when Joseph was lifted out of the pit. Now follow me tonight. Reuben was not there. Here he is, he's struggling in the pit, he's begging, and all of a sudden, amen, Joseph, he realizes that here he is in the pit, amen, his brother has put him there. Anyone ever put you in the pit before? Amen, they'll push on you, they'll shove on you, they'll devise against you to get you in the pit. Amen, the devil, he loves when the child of God is in the pit. He will do anything that he can do to get the child of God to stop praising God, to keep stop living the dream, amen, stop being focused, stop doing something from God, for God, and He will push them in the pit. You've been there before? I've been there. And I would dare say that probably tonight there are some folks that if I were to ask you, you would say, Brother Seville, I am living life in the pit. Amen, but I want to tell you something. Amen, not just by preaching, but prophetically. Amen, someone is going to come out of the pit tonight. Hallelujah, I said someone is going to come out of the pit tonight. Amen. Someone right now, amen, I want to tell you, amen, that in the middle of the pit, there can be financial distress. Amen. There may be sickness. There may be an addiction. Amen. There may be despair. If you would, in modern day vernacular, there may be some depression. Amen. But God's about to bring someone up out of the pit tonight. Amen. It may be a spiritual pit that you're going through. Amen. Maybe it's a dry spell. You may say, Brother Seville, it's been some time since I felt the Spirit of God flow through me. It's been some time since I spoke in that heavenly language. Brother Seville, it's been some time since my feet just took off dancing and I began to shout. Amen. Someone is going to come out of the pit tonight. Amen. Pits. They're different shapes. They're different sizes. Amen. But I want you to know that if you're here tonight and you're in the pit, tonight is your opportunity to have spent your last night in the pit. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night. Amen. But I want you to know that joy cometh in the morning. Someone's about to come out of the pit. Amen. It was the pits yesterday, but today I'm on the rock. Amen. Don't die in the pit. Amen. Just because you've fallen in doesn't mean that you're going to die. Amen. Just because you're in the pit tonight, I want to tell you something. Don't stop dreaming. Amen. You can come out of the pit. from the book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We read stories of individuals who were in the pit, from Joseph to the three Hebrew children. Amen. Throughout the Word of God, Jonah, even Jesus Himself. Amen. But the pit was only a temporary thing. They came out of the pit. Amen. God wants to do something tonight to bring us up out of the pit. God still delivers. Amen. 1 minute for Joseph, it was dark and it was dry. But the next minute, I'm going to tell you, the sun was shining. Everything changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. God allowed Joseph to come up out of the pit. Amen. God loves to do that, from empty nets to full nets. Amen. God loves to do that. Amen. God likes to take us from loss to rejoicing. He likes to take us from empty to full. He likes to take us from not feeling anything to feeling His presence. God loves to bring up out of the pit. It's interesting tonight that Reuben was the one who placed him in the pit. But Reuben wasn't the one who brought him up out of the pit. Amen. I want you to know that it was Judah who brought him up out of the pit. Amen. It was Judah who seen him down in there. Amen. They were leaving him to die. But Judah said, let's bring him up. Amen. That he might live. Amen. Judah is still in the house tonight. And Judah will still bring us up out of the pit. Now, I don't know a whole lot about what Judah looked like. But I imagine Judah was one ugly fella. You may say, Brother Seville, I've read Genesis through. I don't see where Judah was ugly. Well, let me say, I believe Judah was ugly because of this. If you know anything about Judah and what his name represents, Judah, his name itself, represents praise. You with me? Judah's name represents praise, Sister Smith. Amen, Brother Andrews. Judah represents praise. Amen, Brother Spencer. Judah represents praise. But I want to tell you something. God is not looking for pretty praise tonight that will bring us up out of the pit. I'm talking about praise tonight that sometimes is ugly. Amen. It's easy to praise God when our bodies are feeling good. Amen. When we're on top of the world and we're healthy, I can raise my hands. I can lift my voice. Amen. It's easy to praise God when my pocketbook is all full. Amen. And my bank account has money. It's easy to praise God when the Holy Ghost is moving. Amen. And I feel a spirit. Amen. But let me tell you about the tough times. Amen. When I don't have two nickels to rub together. When I'm looking face to face at the enemy. It's not so easy to praise tonight. That is why I say praise sometimes is ugly. Judah was an ugly man. Ugly praise. It means I'm still going to lift my voice and praise God even when my body doesn't feel it. Amen. It means I'm still going to lift up my hands and I'm going to worship even when I don't feel the presence of God. Amen. I'm still going to rejoice in God even when my body's not feeling good. Amen. I'm still going to thank God for all of His provisions even when I don't have a lot of funds, when my family structure is all messed up. Amen. When society is going haywire, I'm still going to praise God. Amen. It means when we begin to set our feet to dance, and amen, we don't stand there all nice and pretty. Amen. But we begin to jump. We begin to sweat. We begin to shout. We begin to cry. Amen. We begin to dance. We don't care what anyone else says. Amen. Our hair's everywhere, all over the place, because we're dancing and shouting. I'm talking tonight about praise. Amen. Not necessarily pretty praise, but ugly praise. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just when I'm feeling good. Amen. But when days are dark. Amen. When the devil's after me. Amen. When I'm not feeling so good. When I feel like I'm all alone. Amen. When I'm clouded in my vision. I'm still going to praise. Amen. Praise. It may not be pretty. In fact, it may be ugly. But I'm still going to give it to God. Amen. How many of you praisers in here know what it's like to really praise God, even when you have problems?
Amen. I said, how many in here know what it's like to praise God even when you have problems? Amen. I'm going to press through. God, even when I'm not feeling you so strong. Amen. God, I'm going to praise you. Amen. Real praisers can get messy. Amen. Real praisers, they love the Lord regardless of what's happening. They're not pleasers, but they're praisers unto God. Amen. Pretty praisers, they know how to raise their hands just right. But ugly praisers, they don't care. They're going to worship God. Amen. In the face of adversity, even when they're in the middle of the pit, they're going to praise God. Amen. God still wants your praise, even when it's through your groans and through your tears. Amen. God still wants your praise, even when your heart's breaking. God still wants your praise, even when it's ugly. Let me tell you about a man, amen, from way back at the beginning of time. His name was Job. The Word of God says that one day the enemy came by to try him. Amen. God allowed him to be tried. Amen. And within a moment of time, this wealthy man lost everything that he had. Amen. I can't imagine tonight going to a funeral of 10 of my dearest and closest loved ones. But that's where he went. Amen. His wife said, Job, you might as well curse God and die. He began to look at his body. It began to burst forth in sickness and disease. But the Bible says that in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let me tell you what Job did. The Bible says that he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down and he worshiped. I'm talking tonight about praise. I'm talking about praise. Praise that doesn't care what anyone else thinks. In the book of 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter number 6, the Word of God tells us that King David, this man who had a heart after God, desired for the Ark of the Covenant to come back home. It was his heart's desire. One day it came to fruition. One day David led the Ark back home. The Bible says that Brother Andrews, he took off his crown. He took off his robe. Amen. And there David danced before the Lord as a common man in his ephod. Amen. God, I'm rejoicing that your presence is coming back home. God, I'm rejoicing that your presence is here. I need you more than anything else. God, I lay aside who I am, my dignity, my kingliness. I want to worship you. The Bible says that his wife looked out the window and she despised him in her heart. She paid the price. Amen. There are some that may say, Brother Seville, is it necessary that we get excited in the presence of God? Is it necessary that I dance? Is it necessary that I worship? Let me tell you this. I will praise God at any cost. I'll lay aside all dignity that I may have, that I may have the presence of God in my midst, and that I may worship Him. Judah. It's amazing. Reuben came back by and he was upset. Somewhere in the middle of things, Judah had delivered Joseph from the pit, Brother Andrews. Reuben was upset. He wasn't there when it happened. Amen. It doesn't matter. That person who pushed you in the pit. It doesn't matter if the devil, amen, has pushed you in. He's outside the walls tonight. Amen. How about it's time you allow Judah, amen, some ugly praise to lift you up out of the pit. Amen. To give you back the dream. To give you back life. To give you restoration. To give you hope. I not only tonight want to introduce you to Judah, but I wonder tonight if I could introduce you to Judah's family. If you would tonight, would you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4? And I want to introduce you to Judah's family. What happens when we begin to praise? What happens when we begin to worship? Amen. One thing that I love about Pentecost, amen, is that we worship, that we praise. Amen. It's not just tradition, although we do have some of that. It's not just the feeling, although we have some of that too. Amen. Our praise is not just singing, although we definitely do that. Our praise is a marked sense of our freedom. We worship Him because we are free tonight. The Bible says, here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Word of God says, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. This is the offspring of Judah. Amen. Someone tonight, please grab this. This is the offspring of Judah. What does Judah represent? Praise. What does Judah represent? I can't hear you. What does Judah represent? Praise. Amen. Sometimes it's ugly praise. But can I tell you that the offspring of Judah, amen, he had 5 sons. Amen. And there's something that is so uniquely interesting about these sons this evening. When we begin to look at the offspring of Judah, amen, who is praise. Amen. I wonder, Brother Leon, if you would come up here tonight, just stand right down here, amen, in front of the platform. I would like to introduce to you tonight Judah's very first son. Amen. Would you come on up here, Perez? Amen. Come on up here, Brother Perez. You are the first mention of Judah's sons. Let me shake your hand, brother. Amen. Daddy is praise. But can I tell you what the offspring of Daddy is? It is Perez. Amen. Perez means this. It means in the Hebrew, it is a place of victory, or it is a breaking forth. Amen. I believe tonight that we can come into the house discomforted, dismayed, discouraged, despondent. But I want to tell you something, that when Judah begins to work in our life and we begin to lift some praise, even if it's ugly tonight, even if it's through our tears, even if it's through our pain, even if it's by faith, when we feel nothing, I want to tell you what it will produce. It will produce Perez. It is a breaking forth. Brother and sister, tonight, if you and I could fill this house with praise, amen, we would leave here differently. There would be a breaking forth of the Holy Ghost upon each and every one of us. We would walk out of here in victory and in courage. Let me tell you, in the Word of God, I read of a woman who didn't say, let him touch me. But she said, I must press through the crowd. I don't feel well. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm sick. I've been given a bad report. I'm as broke as can be. But the Word of God says that she pressed through until she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Amen. In the middle of her praise and worshiping Him as the great physician, there was a breaking forth. If you and I tonight could grab a hold of it, amen, that I'm going to get a hold of God. I am going to praise in my life. I'm going to worship. There will be a breaking forth. You see, the devil doesn't care if you come to camp meeting 2013. Amen, just as long as you don't praise. Amen. The devil doesn't care how much singing that you sing. Amen. If you never praise and have a breakthrough, it will be all right. The devil doesn't care how much anointed preaching we have. Amen. If we never allow it to touch us and we break forth into praise, we'll never have a breaking forth. I want you to know something. There was some religious folks in Matthew chapter number 23. Amen. Jesus scolded these Pharisees. They had structure. They had righteousness, self-righteousness. They had rules and regulations. But one thing they did not have was praise. They never had a breaking forth because they never had praise. Amen. But let me tell you about a man and his co-worker, amen, at the midnight hour, bound in shackles and chains. Let me tell you, when the walls seem to be surrounding on us, when we feel like we can't move, when it feels like everything is dark. The Bible says that in the midnight hour, amen, Paul and Silas, they begin to do something. Amen. They didn't tuck their head. Amen. And begin to cry. They didn't begin to complain to one another. But all of a sudden, they begin to sing. They begin to worship. Amen. And the chains fell off of them. The doors were loose. Amen. God moved for them. We need a breaking forth. It will happen as we praise. Amen. David said this. He said, Goliath, you come to me, amen, with all that armor that's been tried, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Tonight, let's put aside ourselves. Amen. Let's take God at His Word and say, God, I'm going to praise You even when it's ugly. Amen. Even though I may shed some tears down my cheeks, even though I may have to press through, amen, when I'm not feeling anything, amen, other people may want to get out and go get a snack, but God, I'll let my feet begin to dance before You. Amen. I'll lift up my heart. I'll lift up my hands. I'll praise You because I want a breaking forth. A breaking forth. A breaking forth. Amen. You know why the devil, he has so many bound? Amen. Because they never really truly enter praise. Amen. How many's done it before? You'll throw up your hands, but your heart's not lifting. Amen. You'll speak words that you have memorized, that you come in and speak all the time to God as you praise Him. Amen. The devil likes that. Amen. But when we move past that, amen, and we have a breaking forth of praise, amen, that is from the depths of our hearts. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Tonight I wonder, could you pull out your magnifying glass and begin to put it on the name of the Lord? Amen. It's a little bit of work. Amen. It's not pretty sometimes, but would you magnify the Lord with me? Let us exalt His name together that we can see a breaking forth in you. It'll bring you up out of the pit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Andrews, would you come up tonight? The Bible says that Perez, he had another brother that is named here as one of the sons of Judah. His name was Hezron. Just stand right inside here, brother, if you would. Amen. Hezron means this. Hallelujah. I wish the Lord would help us tonight. Hallelujah. Hezron means this. Amen. That there is a courtyard. Hallelujah. That there is a courtyard. Do you know what happens, Brother Andrews? Amen. Do you know what happens, Hezron, when you begin to lift up your hands and praise God? Amen. An offspring of Judah praise. Amen. There is a courtyard that is placed round about you. There is a point of protection. Amen. I love the blood tonight. Amen. I love the hedge that God puts around us. Amen. You want a hedge about you. You want a hedge about your family. Amen. You want a hedge about your ministry. Let me tell you what you need to do tonight. Break forth in praise. Amen. Let Hezron be an offspring. Let it be a courtyard round about you. Amen. When we come together and worship, amen, every devil, every demon in hell, they have to flee. Amen. Because God puts a hedge of protection round about you and I. How did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego make it through the fiery furnace? They were in there praising. Amen. God put a hedge of protection round about them. Amen. How did Daniel make it through the lion's den? Amen. God put a hedge of protection round about him. I don't know if you remember or not, but the prophet Elisha, one day, amen, he was giving all the enemy's secrets away. And the enemy said, how's it coming to pass? They said, there's a man, Elisha. He hears everything that you say in your bedchamber. And he's telling the king of Israel. He said, I want you to find out where he's at. And we're going to go down. And we're going to attack him. And take him. So the enemy came down with his army. Began to surround Dothan there where Elisha and his servant was. The Bible says that his servant came out. And he said, oh, Elisha, the enemy is all round about us. We're sunk. What are we going to do? You see, his servant wasn't doing something that he was doing. Elisha was praying and he was praising. Amen. He said, God, would you open the eyes of my servant that he may see round about? And all of a sudden, the servant began to see the chariots of fire. Amen. The army that God had placed. Amen. Tonight, you know what you need to do? You need to begin to praise God that he can put Hezron round about you. There is a courtyard of protection for you. But it will only be as you praise. Praise, it is powerful. Perez, you are breaking forth. Hezron, you're my place of protection. Brother Spencer, would you come here tonight? I would like to introduce to you the third son of Judah. His name is Carmi. Karma, your name means something very special when we enter into the place of praise. It means this, a gardener of the vineyard. Hallelujah. A gardener of the vineyard. You're here tonight and you're saying, Brother Seville, it seems like I'm stagnated in my growth. It seems like I'm not growing at all. Let me remind you tonight that He is the vine and we are the branches. Amen. The Father loves us so much that He allows us to be trimmed. Amen. Every fall, my wife and I have some bushes outside of our house. Amen. The first year I thought I was going to cut them down. Amen. That they would never come back again. But they come back more beautiful than ever. So last year in the fall again, I cut them back. Amen. And this year, they're blooming bright and beautiful as ever. Amen. You want some growth in your life? I'm going to tell you what is going to give you growth. It'll grow your faith when you begin to praise God. Amen. And the offspring of growth begins to happen in you. Amen. Devotion to God begins to happen. There's consistency in your walk. There's knowledge of the Scriptures and truth in you. There is a determination that is so rooted in you that no power can mine it away. You want growth tonight? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to praise. Amen. The offspring of praise is that there is growth. Amen. I don't want to leave this camp meeting myself. Amen. The same that I came in. Amen. I'm looking to praise tonight. I'm looking to grow tonight. Father, come by. Trim off everything that needs to be trimmed off. God, give me a holy love for you. Give me a holy lifestyle. Give me a greater devotion to your word. Give me a greater anointing. Give me a greater understanding of your truth. It happens. As we praise, it happens. As we praise, some may say, well, Brother Seville, what will people think when they walk in? You know, I'm not worried about what people think when they walk in. This is Pentecost that saved me and kept me. This is the real deal. Sister Smith, I appreciate what you had to say tonight. Amen. It's great. We need to hear more messages on hell. We need to hear more messages on holy living. We need to hear more messages on the Holy Ghost and allowing the Holy Ghost to fill us to overflowing and speak through us and give us His gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And allow the fruits of the Spirit to be grown in us. It'll happen tonight when we get in a place of praise. Brother David, if you would come tonight. Amen. This fourth son, his name is Hur. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Nice to meet you tonight, Hur. Amen. Praise God, brother. Hur, his name means this. It means white, Brother Andrews. White without a coffee stain. White, amen, Brother Frazier, that only the crimson blood of Jesus can make us. It is white. Amen. We struggle with sanctified lives. We struggle with holiness standards. Amen. We struggle with purity in our life. I want to tell you something, that if we would get in the place, amen, where we worship and we praise God and allow the Holy Ghost to begin to flow through us, amen, our lives would be sanctified. Amen. One thing that I've noticed as a pastor, Brother Eastman, is this. before folks ever leave the door. I notice that during song service, they sit. They don't clap. They don't sing. I notice that they go from sitting at the front of the church to the back of the church. I notice that there's something that happens long before they make their exodus. And that is their praise has left. Their praise has left. Amen. We want to be sanctified tonight. I believe that it's as we worship God. Amen. I believe that we can see the holiness of God as we praise and as we worship. David said, let everything that hath breath give Him praise. Amen. Let's magnify Him. Let me tell you why you were created. Amen. It was to worship. Praise God. Brother Fraser, if you'd come tonight. Brother, I saved the best name for you. This is the Brother Shabal. Nice to meet you, Shabal. Praise God. Amen. The fifth and last son. Shabbat. It means place of overflowing. I said it means the place of overflowing. It implies that there is a flowing down and a flowing out. Amen. The Word of God tells us in John chapter number 7 that out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. You're here and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you the ticket to get you filled. Amen. You don't need Brother Seville, although I pray with you. You don't need Brother Frazier, Brother Eastman, although they'll pray with you. But I'll tell you what will get you filled. Amen. As you begin to brag to the Father about His Son and you praise and magnify His name. Amen. The Holy Ghost will fall and begin to fill you. Amen. You'll begin to speak in a heavenly language. He'll take you to a place that you've never been before, that you've longed for. Amen. A place of overflowing. You're struggling with joy tonight. You're struggling with peace tonight. You're struggling with contentment and happiness. If you would begin to praise tonight, God would do something in your life that would overflow you. I'm quickly trying to wrap things up, but I want to share a few things tonight. Brother Andrews, 5 years ago this month, I was at work. I was getting ready to leave. I had my cell phone in my hand. I seen that there was a phone call. I did not recognize the number. Because I was trying to get out of work, be honest to my employer, get out on time, I didn't answer the phone. I seen that there was a message on the phone. I picked up that phone, Sister Andrews. I know Brother Andrews and Sister Andrews, you can relate with me tonight. But on there was one of our local police officers. He said, Pastor, I need for you to go and give some pastoral care to a family. Robert Dietrich was killed in an accident today. Brother Andrews, I sunk in disbelief. I sat down and I wept. A man who was like a second father to me, faithful to our church, did so much for me. Killed in an accident. Did I get it from the local state police trooper? I remember, Brother Frazier, it was a struggle in my life. I'd already lost my dad at a very young age of 17. Died of a massive heart attack 2 weeks before I went to Bible school. Felt disillusioned for some time till the Lord healed and mended my heart. Now a man who was much like a second father to me was taken out. I was so broken, my boss came in and she said, you're taking the week off. She gave me the week off. I was there at the parsonage. I was not married at that time. I remember just nights of staying up, thought, God, you got to help me. I got to preach a funeral. I'm so confused. I'm so clouded. God, I just don't know what to do. I remember trying to go to church, get things organized, pray for the service, try to minister to the family, try to minister to church people. I felt like I was running on empty. I was out in my yard. I was just pacing back and forth because I knew nothing else to do. Then all of a sudden, Brother Frazier, if I ever heard God's voice before, it was there in that moment. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you right now to lift up your hands and praise my name. There in my yard, Brother Andrews, I don't know if the neighbors were seeing me. I lifted up my hands. I said, God, I don't understand this, but I worship you. And let me tell you, the tears begin to flow down my face. Amen. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to break through in my life. There was clarity like I never had clarity before. God gave me direction. God gave me anointing. God gave me help. Let me tell you what. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know where you're at tonight, whether you're on the pit or on the ground, but I'm going to tell you what God wants from you. It is praise. My wife and I, just about a month ago, went through a very difficult time in our life. I'm not going to give details for it. Amen. I was listening to a song on the radio. All of a sudden, the song said, God, I'll praise you if you take the dearest thing away. All of a sudden, I slammed my hand on the radio and I said, God, it's difficult right now. It's difficult. But all of a sudden, on my way back on the drive, I said, devil, you did it to me one time, but you won't do it again. Amen. You will not steal my praise. I have nothing else but the foundation of Jesus Christ to stand on. I played that song. I played it over and over again. Tears were running down my face. I was lifting my hands in the car as I was worshiping God. What am I trying to say tonight? If you want a breakthrough, amen. If you want Perez in your life, that is a breakthrough. Why don't you praise His name? Amen. If you want Hezron in your life, amen. That is a place of protection. Why don't you try praising His name? Amen. If you want a karma tonight in your life, amen, a place of growth, why don't you try praising His name? If you want her in your life, a place of purity and holiness and righteousness, why don't you praise Him? Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, you want to be filled to overflowing, you need a fresh infilling, amen, why don't you praise Him and allow Shabbat to be the offspring as He begins to overflow in you? Amen. Sister Holly, if you'll come. Amen. Sister Andrews, if you'll come. Brother Jason, if you're still in the building, are you here, brother? Amen. On the piano. Amen. How about the drums, brother? Amen. Sister Holly, make your way. I'm going to tell you something. One story I save for last is this. I remember when I was a young person, I was raised in Pentecost. I was raised with the moving of God's Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I seen God heal bodies as a young person. Amen. I seen saints dance around in the Spirit of God as a young person. And I wanted the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wanted the Holy Ghost more than anything. Brother Andrews, I had folks praying for me, and pushing on me, spitting in my face. I was sweating. I was tired. I did everything. I begged God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Until I began to praise Him. Amen. And that night as I began to praise Him, amen, God began to fill me with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. I've asked them to sing tonight the song we started off on. Brother Andrews, thank you, brother. Amen. You gave me confirmation for the Word tonight. Praise Him. This is the first thing I want. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you want the Holy Ghost. This is what I want you to do. I don't have a remedy in my pocket, but I can tell you that if you'll begin to praise Him. Brother Frazier, I believe that they were in one place and in one accord, but I believe they were singing. I believe they were worshiping. I believe they were praising. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost began to come in, amen, like cloven tongues of fire, and set upon every one of them. As the wind blew it in, they began to overflow. Every saint that was in that upper room, all 120, as they were worshiping, and they began to worship Him in a new tongue. Tonight, you want to worship in a new tongue? Amen. You've been living a sanctified life. Amen. You desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tonight's your opportunity. What I want you to do, I want you to get right out of your pew right now. Amen. Someone here, you'll say, Brother Seville, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Surely there's someone in the house tonight. Amen. I want you to step right out of your pew. Amen. I want you to step right out of your pew. Come on. Sure. Come on, brother. That's right. Amen. Begin to lift your hands right now. Begin to worship God. Amen. There's someone else tonight. Come on. Amen. Young person, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Tonight, how about coming and worshiping? Amen. Someone else. Come on. Step right out of your pew. Amen. Someone else tonight. Amen. I'm not going to tarry long. Someone else tonight. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Begin to lift your hands and worship as you make your way down. Hallelujah. That's right. Come on down. Amen, Brother Andrews. There's another gentleman. Hallelujah. Someone else tonight. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God, I want to be filled. Amen. Now I'm going to do this evening. Is there someone here tonight that said, tonight is the last night I'm staying in the pit? Amen. Who wants to come out of the pit? Amen. Would you just step right out of your seat? Amen. I'm coming out of the pit tonight. Amen. Would you come? Would you slip up your hands? Would you begin to worship? Amen. Is there someone tonight that would say, I want her. I want sanctification in my life. Would you come? Just lift up your hands and begin to pray. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you'll say, Brother Seville, I want an overflowing tonight. Amen. Would you come? Just lift up your hands and praise. Amen. Tonight, if you want God to move in your life, amen. Would you step out? Would you worship? Would you praise?